Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for April 30th, 2023 is based on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield, and the sermon title is Confronting Hard Bible Texts.
An introduction to the second reading. Doing the right thing does not guarantee that one will not experience difficulties, hardships, rejections, or even suffering. Here Christ is presented as the model for our path of endurance and loyalty to God, particularly amid adversity. A reading from 1 Peter. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you from God, the source of all life and love. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Here we are in the season of Easter, a season of life, a season of renewal, a season of resurrection, a season of hope. And yet, somehow, we are given this very challenging reading today of 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you remember this text from Easter sermons past? Do you remember very many sermons ever being preached on this text? It's not typically a text that is focused on very much in the life of this church because it makes people uncomfortable. And quite frankly, it even makes pastors uncomfortable. I will warn you that today in my sermon, I will touch on the subject of abuse. And if at any time that is too much for you to handle, it is okay and encouraged for you to go out and find the space that you need. I'm part of a weekly one-hour Bible study on Zoom on Tuesday afternoons with Lutheran pastors in the Dayton area. And each week we look at and discuss the four texts for the upcoming Sunday. And after we read 1 Peter reading in our Bible study, one pastor piped in right away and said, "Should we just go ahead and move on to the gospel reading? I'm guessing none of us are going to preach on this week." Another pastor said, "Yeah, I've got problems with this text, so I think I'm actually going to pull it out of our readings and put something else in its place." One of the sites that I visit to read pastoral reflections on our various Sunday texts had about 20 reflections on the Acts reading, had about 30 reflections on our gospel reading, and had 3 reflections on 1 Peter. It's not a text we're comfortable with. And we all, pastors included, are often scared to talk about it. Why are pastors scared to talk about texts like these? Number one, they're not simple to understand. 2, they can be taken way out of context. 3, talking about sanctioned slavery or abuse in the Bible is not easy. People don't want to hear about hard things at church. And if the message isn't extremely clear, people can walk away with some damaging interpretations. So, guess what we're going to do today? We're going to look at fear in the eye, and we're going to talk about it. And there are 2 reasons we're going to talk about it. 1, it's a difficult part of our Bible, and we can't ignore it. 1, because it's part of the Bible, and 2, because it can be used in some very harmful ways. And the second reason we're going to talk about it is because once we understand that God does not desire harm for us, it frees us to live and love more like Jesus. So, before I go any further, I do want to say, domestic violence is never okay. And God never desires for us to endure harm. Domestic violence in the form of physical, emotional, or spiritual abuse is never okay. And if you need help getting out of an abusive situation, you can reach out to me or a mental health specialist or even Safe on Main here in Lebanon. And you may say to yourself, Pastor Corey, this seems pretty obvious. Why do you feel called to make that proclamation? Because texts like these, when they are taken out of context, have been used for years and still to this day to justify abuse by the abuser and to convince the abused that their suffering glorifies God. And I want to be very clear that that is not the intent of these verses. But that is the danger of us not talking about difficult parts of the Bible. When we don't talk about them out loud in church or in Bible study, people have no frame of reference when they encounter them in their personal lives. And so it is through communal or group discernment of these texts that we can prevent harmful interpretations from being perpetrated and put these texts back into their proper context. Absolutely no one other than God has an absolute and perfect understanding of the Bible. Even the greatest theologians and pastors throughout history have blind spots in their interpretation and understanding. And that's why it is so very important that we read the Bible together in community, so that we can ask questions of one another and deal with hard passages in faithful, constructive, living ways that do not take passages out of context, but view them through the lens of God's undying love for all creation. So, 1, we talk about the difficult parts of the Bible so that they are not used inappropriately to harm others. And 2, once we understand that God does not desire harm for us, it guides us to live and love more like Jesus. In this letter, Peter is writing to groups of new believers all throughout Asia Minor. And during this time, the followers of Jesus were being persecuted by the Roman Empire because they worshiped Jesus instead of the emperor. It's not God's desire to have these people live in these conditions, but it's their reality. And as a pastoral figure to these people, Peter tries his best to offer them some comfort or hope amidst their pain. He tells them pretty bluntly, you have 2 options. Rebel against the empire by force and be killed, or try to live peacefully among the Romans, showing them God's mercy through your actions. And your actions of love will help them to see Jesus and make the righteous or good ways of Jesus known. And I need to be very clear here that the situation they were in 2,000 years ago is not an apples-to-apples situation of domestic violence today. The oppression and enslavement that the Roman people imposed was legalized by the state. The oppressed people only had two options: fight back and die, or live under the oppression. They didn't have a third option: to go to the police, to file a court order, to run away and find shelter in a crisis center. If there's a way out of violence without causing more violence, Jesus always calls us to that option. God does not desire anyone to be hurt. And I say it again, if you are ever in need of getting out of an abusive situation, please reach out to myself or a mental health professional or Safe on Main here in Lebanon. The oppression of the early Christians and the domestic abuse of victims today are two very heavy and serious examples with which many of us may not be able to connect to our individual lives. But there are simple, everyday examples of when we are thrust into a situation that perpetrates or perpetuates violence or abuse, and we have a choice. Like when you're with a group of friends and someone uses a racist word to describe someone else. If we say nothing, our silence can be seen as affirming their action, and they will likely use the word to harm others again. If we speak up and say to them that the word they used hurts people, we're showing love by standing up for our neighbor. And unfortunately, we may get ridiculed for speaking up, or we might lose that friendship altogether. There are times when we speak up for what is right in the eyes of God, and we'll have to suffer unjustly for that. People have left our congregation, said mean things about us, and may have cut some of us off because we have chosen to no longer stay quiet at the fact that God loves all people. We could have remained quiet for fear of losing members while people continued to say mean and hurtful things to the adults and youth in this congregation. But our silence would have allowed that cycle of violence against marginalized people in our pews to be perpetuated into the future. When we stand up to injustice in a nonviolent way, when we stand up for what is right in the eyes of God, sometimes we will suffer unjustly. But we have asserted ourselves into those situations. We are not choosing that option of suffering because it is, or we are choosing that option of suffering because it is the loving thing to do for our neighbor. God does not rejoice in our suffering, but rejoices that we did the right thing and the loving thing. How are we empowered to make these hard decisions? To step into moments of unjust oppression for the sake of others? We look at the example of Jesus' life, who took human form to show us the loving ways of God, and yet society sentenced him to death. Jesus could have fought back, but he chose to submit, knowing that violence begets violence, and that through his death, he will be able to show humanity that God always works towards resurrection and life, and that violence is never the answer. God does not ordain or welcome violence. God encourages us to work against violence in all its forms, because when we do, we get a glimpse of heaven here on earth. God has shown us that in the end, love wins. God's love for humanity is shown in the resurrection of Jesus, which says to us, God loves us, God does not wish death and suffering upon us, and God will have the last word. If you have ever been or are being subjected to violence against you, God does not want that for you. If you are able to step in on someone's behalf to curb violence, that would encourage us to do that loving act. And ultimately, God has shown us that violence and abuse will not have the last word. God's love for all people will one day be shown in its perfection for all of creation. And despite this being a hard text, that is an Easter message of life and renewal. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.